Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like you to listen to these four vignettes and listen for the commonality amongst them, though different stories they are. See, there once was a little girl. She was about 4 years old, and she was attending a church function, a mother-daughter dinner with her mother, and it was in the fellowship hall of the church, and it came time for the meal, and they were serving it buffet style. So they were dismissing the tables, table by table, and the table the little girl and her mother were sitting at wasn't one of the first tables. But being a four-year-old girl, she didn't really understand that she had to wait her turn with her table to get dismissed to go to the buffet. So she got up, even though her mother tried to explain to her that she needed to wait. She was way too eager to get to the food. So she jimmied her way up to the serving line with the first couple of tables who were going through the buffet. And she was just so excited to get the food. And the other ladies who were up there could tell she wasn't probably supposed to be up there just yet. But she got to the buffet line, she got back and realized that nobody at her table had gotten their food, and she still didn't quite understand. But when her mother explained it to her again and was kind of disappointed in her that she hadn't listened and had gone ahead and gotten food, and the little girl just started to cry because she realized the mistake she had made and the remorse she felt not listening to what her mom had tried to say to her, and just the deep sense of shame that came over her for not having listened, for disappointing her mom, and just for not knowing and feeling embarrassed. There once was a young man, 16 years old, who was new to the town. He had moved there just recently with his family over the summer. And he was starting school. It was the very first day of high school. And it came to be lunchtime, and he was in the cafeteria finding a place to sit, sat down at a table all by himself, started to eat lunch, just looking around, realizing that, of course, he didn't know anyone yet, and nobody had come to say, hey, come eat with me, didn't know who he could or should sit with. But as he sat there alone and feeling rather embarrassed that obviously he was the new kid and out of place, he felt this deep sense of shame at not being accepted, at being different. There once was a woman, 41 years of age, hard worker, had a family of 5 children and a husband, but found herself on hard, hard times. She wasn't able to make ends meet. She wasn't getting a paycheck again for a few days, but her family desperately needed food. She went to the grocery store and bought what she needed to the tune of $600, writing a check, knowing that there was no money in her account to cover it, but the paycheck she was getting would cover it in just a few days' time. That paycheck didn't end up hitting the bank when it should have, and she ended up in deep trouble with the grocery store and with the law. When she got money, she paid it back with interest. But the state that she lived in decided that she needed to be prosecuted for grand theft, even though she'd already paid back her debt. And they put her in jail. And it made her life really difficult. And the shame she felt at having been incarcerated for this offense, and the shame that she felt when the guards who treated all the prisoners and inmates like less than human, was deep. Deep shame on several fronts for this woman indeed. There once was a man in his mid-70s. He was simply walking out to get his mail from the mailbox on the street. On his way back, he tripped over a bump in the sidewalk, falling and breaking his hip. And as he lay there, not able to get himself up, with no one around for almost an hour before someone came by to help him and call 911, Laying there alone, he realized he couldn't do anything to help himself. He was physically unable. And the deep sense of shame that came over him at not even being able to help himself overwhelmed him. I hope you noticed that shame was the common theme for all of those stories. Because all of us, if we're human, which I think we are, have felt shame on some level. It's either shame about something people have done to us, a situation that has made us feel ashamed, or it could be something that we've done to another that has made us feel ashamed of our own actions. Perhaps we felt shame because we've not met our own internal expectations, or we've not met expectations put on us by someone else, or even put on us by our society. Maybe we've felt shame because we have failed. Maybe we've felt shame simply because we're not part of the right group of people. We're not part of those who are popular. We're not part of those who are well-respected. Maybe we have felt shame because we aren't physically capable of doing what we once were able to do. Or again, maybe we've simply committed an act against somebody that is shameful. The reason I'm talking about shame this morning is because that's what our gospel text is really all about. Jesus lived in a culture where shame and honor were high marks of distinction of who you were. When you were invited to a banquet and asked to sit near the host at the high end of the table, that was a place of honor, and that society was all about honor. It affected what your family, what you were able to do in the society if you were held in high esteem. Your daughters and sons could marry well. You got many benefits. You were able to move and be in that society in a high position of status. If you were in shame amongst the society, you weren't going to have those benefits whatsoever. Shame and honor were highly regarded in Jesus' day and age. And interestingly, in our gospel text, you know what Jesus says? It sounds kind of like common sense advice. If you go to a banquet, don't seat yourself high up in a place of honor, because if you're really not supposed to be there, if somebody else who's more honorable is there, they're going to ask you to move down, and you will be shamed. Sit in the lowest place, so that if they want to, you know, ask you to sit in a place of honor, you will be honored and glorified, and everybody will say, wow, look at them. Jesus is asking that you take the place of shame. Jesus is asking and saying, you should take the place of shame first. And that's kind of odd, perhaps. Why? Why would you choose to feel all those things, those deep sense of shame and those vignettes that I read? Why would you choose to do that indeed? Why would anybody choose to feel shame? And I think the key here is because we all feel it. It almost unites us as human beings, because I don't think anybody ever escapes from feeling shame. Because truth be told, we probably all deserve to sit at the lowest place. That's where we all should be, because we have been shamed, or we have done things that we're ashamed of. So in some sense, that's probably where we all rightfully belong anyway. I heard an interesting story about this very topic, about a men's retreat led by a Roman Catholic priest, Richard Rohr. He's well known in many circles for his work and writings on contemplative spirituality and also on men's spirituality. He leads retreats all across the world, all across our nation. He's in New Mexico. He's led multiple men's retreats. And one of the exercises he does with the men is about their shame. He says men carry shame often in their physical bodies, as I think we all do. So one of the things he does is he gives the men on his retreat pieces of red tape. And he asks them to think about, where on your body have you felt shame? What parts of your body have caused you to feel shame? Where have you been wounded? Perhaps if you're not smart, it could be your head. Perhaps if you're not physically able, it could be another part of your body. He asks them to think about it. He gives them the red tape, and he asks them to go back to their individual rooms for a period of time to place this tape on their bodies where they have been wounded. And as they're doing that, he prepares a cross, a life-size cross in their meeting space with the body of Jesus on it. And then when he invites them to come back together, they come back with this red tape, multiple places on most of these men's bodies. They come back together and they look at one another, seeing this red tape, different parts of their bodies. And as they look at one another, they realize they are together here in this shame. And then in that silence, he invites them to take their red tape and put it on the body of Jesus on the cross. So when they are done, the body of Jesus is red, full of this tape, full of the wounds these men have carried. And for many, it is a powerful, powerful experience of letting go of some of that shame, indeed, and giving it to Jesus. Because Jesus knows shame. He was without sin, yet he was crucified as a sinner. Crucified as a common criminal, he was spat upon. He was mocked. He was called, yeah, King of the Jews, right? He was beaten, and his own followers, Peter, denied the man 3 times. They fled from him, thinking he was an utter failure and disgrace. Jesus knows shame. He knows your shame, he knows my shame, and he takes it on his own body. And he transforms it into honor and glory. So though, yes, indeed, we can all honestly choose the lowest place at the banquet table, that place of shame, you see, Jesus says to us, not only, friend, move up higher, Jesus says, come, sit with me. Because you don't need to be shameful anymore. I have taken your shame and made it into glory and honor, and your place is right here beside me at the head of the table. The only questions left to ask are, will you accept his invitation this morning? And then will you extend it to someone else? In Jesus' name, amen.